Do you love and hate the hospitality industry? Then you are in the right spot. Join your hosts, Kyle and Sarah, Sean Walsheth, and Jensen Cummings as they talk shop and give real insights into the latest restaurant news and most pressing issues facing hospitality professionals today. Welcome in to the Restaurant Idea Factory.
Welcome into Restaurant Idea Factory. Today, what's today? Friday, February 24th. We got our bobbing and weaving. Everyone's stretched out. Everyone's feeling good. I like it. Get ready. It's game time. Today, Riff 009. James Beard nominee wants to share spotlight. Hispanic food vendor bullied over $7 hot dog. And what does restaurant tech integration actually mean? It's going to be a little bit lighter this week. Last week was really, really heavy, and I think it was important. I think it was a good episode. I think we got into some serious topics.
Professor Jensen put on his history lesson hat.
That's so funny. I was taking notes on everything for this week, and I wrote a couple of history facts, and I was like, nah. They don't want any of that. I'll space it out every couple of weeks. I'll hit you guys with
every
some...
Every couple weeks, you're going to drop a history knowledge.
With some history, this is when the wheel was invented. I'm not gonna. The first ever restaurant in the United States, Delmonico, was opened.
The word restaurant comes from.
The first ever restaurant, Delmonico, has a $50 burger now today. Isn't that wild? What else we got? Yeah, we tried to keep everything light. It felt like this week, except of course, the hazing of a over a $7 hot dog. We got Chick-fil-A's in the news. We got here's things to do and not do at Chinese restaurants. Shake Shack earnings might make a debut today. We got subscriptions, fancy restaurant rules. I love breaking the shit out of fancy restaurant rules now that I'm not the chef of the fancy restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
So nice. Okay, but first we're gonna get some rando background on the host. People have been liking that. We got to throw this up here. Corey threw this in. Let me see if I can find this. Feast your eyes here, people.
Boy, what?
Yes. Look at this.
That kid is frightened. That kid on the left is frightened. I don't know what I didn't hear, but he's scared shitless.
If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, do yourself a favor and find the content on YouTube. This is Kyle Jensen gold right here.
This is unbelievable.
I'm just going to hover here. Can we just do the whole show like this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We'll just be voices in the background.
I'm a method actor. I had to get into
you
know,
character. I'm into the role. I mean, those tights scream Snoopy to me.
Yeah, I lived in a doghouse for 3 months to get ready for that role.
Oh, that was so good.
The piano.
I'm still trying to hunt down the me and glasses Lakers one. I found some other really embarrassing pictures of me as a kid. So if I can't find that picture that I promised everybody, I will just show you another embarrassing picture of me as a kid. But that was a good one. So Kyle, kick us off. What do you got for us this week as far as a rando background on you?
Rando.
Are we breaking news? Is this breaking news? Is it appropriate for the show or is that?
Yeah, but my wife is pregnant. We're having a baby boy in August. That's
right. You just mumbled that. Say that again.
I just got off a plane, man. My wife is pregnant.
This is family, brother. Like this is a huge. This is like the greatest news that we got. I mean,
we are welcoming another young chef into the family in August, 2023, a baby boy. My wife is pregnant. So yeah, that's my random fact for today.
That is pregnant, a huge
adding to the family. Yeah, we're increasing the family by 25%.
We're adding another rifter, someone that'll another take the rifter. Mic.
I saw the video that Leslie posted and I almost was like, oh, cool. They're having a good time at a restaurant, whatever. And then I was almost about to scroll. I was like, wait a minute. What are they doing? They cut the cake open and there's the blue cake. It's like, oh,
a lot of production, man. It was, it's been a bumpy couple months to get it done, but here we are. we got past all the hurdles. Yeah. Super excited. It's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I couldn't tell who was more excited. You, Leslie, your daughter. Everyone was pumped up. It was super cool to see.
Yeah, we took it on the road to go. We had to break the news to my folks down in Florida. We had to try to get everybody all together. So we went.
That's why you had the trip. Florida.
Yeah. So
that's so great.
That's
it. The three of us were texting at like 5 a.m. in the morning. We were like, holy shit, congrats. Is that real?
Yeah, we had, depending how you edit it, it was like, wait, who's having the kid here? I didn't want to look like my 15-year-old daughter was like a teen mom. So we were like, okay.
Well, since this is 2023, was the preferred platform, was this an Instagram reveal?
I was.
Oh, okay. Instagram got the reveal.
Instagram got the reveal.
Breaking news. Yeah.
And then like an hour later, we got to break it to like the family on Facebook, you know, all the family.
Well, gotta let them know.
All the family that's not on IG.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the problem is you can't, videos don't do well if they're not reels on Facebook anymore. So it's hard for the Facebook family to figure out what's actually happening. You almost need to just text.
Yeah, we're gonna do it the old school way. But yeah, it was this kid's life's gonna be documented from the second he's born, I can tell you that.
Seriously.
It's already
don't be camera shy.
Already being documented.
That's it.
Already being done. All right, Sean, what do you got for us? Follow that.
How many kids do you have in this year?
Yeah, there's no following that. I'll give you guys a random fact. So I gave you the opera fact and ballet fact. The other random fact is I'm a diehard tennis fan. I have completed a grand slam. So I have seen tennis matches in all four of the major tennis events, which is the U.S. Open.
So you played in all four. I completed all four.
The Wimbledon and the French Open. So I've, thanks to my grandfather, who is a diehard tennis fan, I too have been to the greatest places to play tennis in the world.
Wait a second. You're an opera guy and a tennis guy?
Yeah, man. And Sean's like a cake eater over here. What?
And a what?
A cake eater? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You got boat shoes and you're going to operas and ballets and tennis?
Fan association, so.
Oh, man.
I've got a diverse background of all kinds of interests.
He probably paints, too.
Well, I guess if you look at it, I don't half-ass anything. Everything's 100%.
All in.
If I'm going to fly a flag, I'm going to fly it very loud and very proud.
All right.
Whether that's football, whether it's Chargers, whether that's podcasting, whether that's Toast, whether that's any of our partners, that's how I roll.
Whether it's Wimbledon,
the
Sydney Opera House. Ooh, I like it.
In there.
Well, yep. I'm going family style. This was Betsy got another background for us. There's Mount Fuji over here. I alluded to it last week. Oh, actually, as I reach out, there's the tattoo. So. My heritage, my grandmother, my bachan is from Kyoto, Japan, and it's something I'm super proud of today. And hold on, I'm going to show you guys a picture. You got to see this picture too. Look at this gangster right here. Wow.
Amazing. Sure.
Guarantee she throws down.
Don't let the smile fool you.
Yeah.
She's a boss with her little dog there looking like Dr. Evil or Spectre or something like that. But I show the tattoo because this is actually our family name, Takaya. It's in her handwriting, and they screened it onto my arm and tattooed it when I was like maybe 22 years old. And this is interesting for me because now I'm so proud of it. And being a chef, like Japanese cuisine is some of the most unique and progressive and the best maybe in the world. Like they're at a level, right? When I was a kid, though, there was a lot of shame in being Hapa, right? Being mixed. I was never American enough, never Japanese enough. It was something I definitely struggled with. I felt lucky that my name was Jensen Cummings and I'm 6'2", I was tall and pale enough skin and a big French schnoz that only if you looked in my eyes long enough could you tell that there was some Japanese. And even when people would ask me like, what are you? I'd be like, oh, I'm French and Irish and mumble Japanese. So it was a difficult thing for me to kind of embrace. And I remember when she would come over to our house a lot of times, she would bring all these tiny little containers because she's tiny. I mean, you can't even see how tall she is on the screen here because she's so short. Look up at me and call me Jensen. And she would bring these tiny little containers of all these funky fermented and pickled Japanese like foods That's and so condiments, cool. The nukazuke and the yamagobo and the natto and the umeboshi, all these things that I love and have created over the years as a chef. But at that time, I just thought it was some fucking weird ass food that smelled funky. And when she would leave, she would inevitably always leave those containers. I would throw them in the trash because I didn't want my friends to know that we had, weird food. Right. So it's just a struggle that I had that now I embrace, and it's yeah, it's totally a rando fact, but it's something that I hold in high regard for sure. My mom is going back to Japan. Nothing random about it for sure. No, that's like deep therapy, like, turned into like life.
That's deep DNA identity. Yes.
Yeah, my mom's going back to Japan this year to like actually Kyle's take her ashes.
Kyle's son will be a Jets fan, deep in his DNA.
Those are good ones. That felt good. That was a lot. We had some family legacy stuff to throw out there. So this was a long intro, but feels good.
To have more of your Japanese background and heritage, and especially that backdrop. That gets me fired up.
Money, huh?
Dude, I think about,
I didn't know that Japan, the pink would look so good on my complexion. It looks great. All right, let's get into this. Let's kick it to Destiny and officially start Rift 009.
Do you love and hate the hospitality industry? Then you are in the right spot. Join your hosts, Kyle and Sarah, Sean Walsheth, and Jensen Cummings, as they talk shop and give real insights into the latest restaurant news and most pressing issues facing hospitality professionals today. Welcome in to the Restaurant Idea Factory.
All right, let's get it. Today's potential at-large headlines. Meal ticket brands generates new revenue streams for restaurant operators. Why Chick-fil-A is opening a break room for New York City's delivery drivers. My family owned a Chinese takeout restaurant. Here are 9 things we wish customers knew to avoid being offensive or inconsiderate. Shake Shack earnings come mostly in line with estimates. I don't know that we're going to do this, but I threw it out there because at some point I feel like Rift needs to have its own like money market show of understanding the financial side of what's happening in the ecosystem. So. I don't know that we're ready for that yet, but I want to get in the mix. Why Pizza Hut's red roofs and McDonald's play places have disappeared. This is a little bit of a hit to our childhood, I think. Let's see what else we got. A boozy Art Deco style Taco Bell just opened in tourist loaded Hollywood. Taco Bell with booze. That could be a game changer. The one menu rule you're probably breaking at fancy restaurants: pay per chew. More restaurants try subscription programs. And lastly, we had Santa Ana restaurant receives indefinite suspension for serving alcohol to minors. I think you threw that one out there because it was actually a Twitter post that was thrown out by the police in Santa Ana. So they're trying to scare people.
Promoted Twitter post. So the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control in California paid to promote a tweet to let restaurant owners know how big the responsibility is of having a liquor license.
Oh man, I understand it's a PSA for sure, and it feels like they're bullying restaurants a little bit. But man, So of those, what do we like? We like pizza. We like pay per chew subscriptions.
Subscriptions. We should definitely talk about.
I figure that, especially after I saw Kyle's LinkedIn post on subscription go apeshit. All right, let's get into that. let's start with Kyle and Sarah. What do you think about subscription programs for restaurants?
I don't know that I would sign up for one. It's just that I don't frequent too many of the same places. You know, I know I was listening to you guys on Clubhouse. You're talking about NFTs and subscriptions and all that type of stuff.
You were in the audience? I didn't see. Really?
You're too busy. You're too busy running the show. The whole time?
Did I not bring you on stage?
I was I was there probably the last half hour.
Okay.
He was incognito. He was the little avatar wearing the little fake mustache.
I was in a Snoopy outfit. You didn't see me in the background? Like, I guess it's gonna work for some groups. I thought it'd be a cool idea if it was like, I just don't like the free coffee, free soda, free wine club, or get free breadsticks. I don't think that's value. You know what I mean? I think something of value, like I thought about this whole thing of enticing people back to the office is a hot topic of conversation. If there was some place that offered like a breakfast coffee subscription at your desk, or your lunch that got delivered there, you didn't have to order it, it showed up, something like that. But again, to me, I don't know. To me, it just homogenizes everything. If everybody has this subscription, it's like, then what subscription do you have? What subscription does that place have? I like the individuality of restaurants. I'm not a huge fan of everybody doing the same thing. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to carry a card, or I got to put my app up. It's, I think it also speaks to the
microchip. You just hold up your microchip.
It's open your eye, the retinal scan, you get a free latte. No, I'm not into it. I think the types of restaurants that will do that, I'm sure they'll get a little hit from it, but I don't think this is necessarily a new thing. Isn't this like a loyalty club, right?
Well, typically a loyalty club is the other way. You do enough buying, you get the thing.
Right.
This is like you do the buying up front.
Yeah.
And you get the things after. It's when the financial transaction happens is the biggest difference, I think, in this. So, Sean, for you, what are you thinking?
So, if you are on LinkedIn, you need to follow Andrew Simmons. Andrew Simmons is a restaurant owner here in the outskirts of San Diego in Ramona. His shop is called Mama Ramona's Pizza Shop. He has robots. He has toast. He is also launched a subscription program where he sold 329 pizza subscriptions. So you get one pizza pie per week at his shop. Just in his Black Friday sale, he gave me updated numbers. They sold 299 pizza subscriptions. He is currently at a 51% redemption rate on those pizza subscriptions. The people that come in to his shop are spending $18 on top of redeeming their pizza pie per week. It's very interesting way for restaurants to, you know, back to Kyle's point, it's not just giving away a free coffee or giving away a free pizza,
right?
But how do you change the revenue model? And I think that's what's most exciting for me is when you find someone like Andrew Simmons, who's willing to invest in technology in his restaurant that's off the beaten path. But if you can do it in your village, if I can do it in Spring Valley, or if he can do it in Ramona, anyone that's listening to this content, there is a play if you add value. But, you know, to Kyle's point, it has to be something that stands out. I mean, for me, we go to certain restaurants multiple times per week. You know, like, you know, speaking of, you know, Japanese heritage, I drive literally 35 minutes from Chula Vista to Pacific Beach to go to Ichiban Japanese restaurant. Now, this restaurant will not be on any eaters list. It will not be, you know, this is where you go to get sushi. That is a comfort Japanese place that I went with my grandmother that I now take my kids to. And we will drive literally once a week to this restaurant to get udon noodles, to get chicken teriyaki, to get Japanese comfort food. If there is something that I could give them money and say, hey, I'm going to come, I would sign up for that subscription. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. How many would you sign up for? How many could you possibly sign up for? Right? Like, you gotta be two.
No, there's the right answer, Kyle. It's fucking two. What are you, an idiot?
Not three, not one, two.
Japanese restaurant, Mexican restaurant, and Italian restaurant.
Three.
That's three for counting.
Here we go. Watch out. Now you're getting out of control. My thought on this is the model needs to be evolved. We're kind of clumsily grasping in the dark, I think, in a lot of this. I also believe you have to diversify your revenue streams in any ways that you can as a business. You need to be in CPG, consumer packaged goods. You need to be bottling up those pickles, those umeboshi, right? You need to bring your brand into people's homes, merch, cooking classes, catering, pop-up events, subscriptions. You need to find as many ways to diversify your revenue streams. Now, probably to Kyle's point too, you can't be tchotchke about it. It can't be something that you're trying too hard to do something different than you normally do. You need to find thoughtful ways to integrate it into what you naturally do as a business. Otherwise, you're just chasing, and then you probably lose attention on the thing that's actually making you money. So it's a really fine line there, but diversifying your revenue streams is absolutely something every brand needs to do for sure. So
I'll tell you what, on that LinkedIn post though, real quick, is that so many people, you know how social media is, right? Everyone's got an opinion, and not all necessarily coming from the point of like reading the comment or reading the post. That they're throwing their own two cents out there.
Are you telling me people do not read for context? They just read for the headline?
I mean, that's some do, yeah. You start pouring your heart out in your post. These guys were like, it feels like a ripoff. Feels like a scam.
Post. No one's reading it.
No one's reading it. Less is more. Emojis. Less is
more. All right. Well, let's keep this. I like this energy on this show. Let's keep it going with none other guest experience presented by Ovation. Wanted to lead with our guy Zach Oates because he's getting us fired up. And Ovation, for those who don't know, now you know, Ovation is a two-question survey platform for real-time feedback, better online reviews, and happier guests. All right. I don't know, you guys peep this. He gets pretty out of control. I love it. Here we go.
When I say restaurant, you say Idea Factory. Restaurant, Idea Factory. Restaurant, Idea Factory. What's up, team? How are you, Restaurant Idea Factory? So excited to be with you today. So I had something to tell you. So last night I went to dinner with my wife and we sat down at this restaurant. I saw the owner because, you know, you can always tell who the owner is. He's got, you know, they've got that walk. You know, they really seem like they know what's going on. They're caring. I went up to him and started chatting with him. I said, hey, is this your place? He said, yes. And we were talking about his online reputation. And he said that he hates customers. I was like, what a weird thing to say for a restaurant owner. He said 5% of customers are insane. 20% of customers are idiots. And do you know why? He had this thought because he was just looking at his online reviews and he thought that guests were being unfair. Because a guest is 3 times more likely to leave a negative review than a positive one. And every negative review loses you 30 customers. That is like gut-wrenching. And you want to know why, though? You want to know why that people are leaving you negative reviews? It's not because they hate you. It's not because they're idiots. It's not because they're insane. It's because you're making it so hard for them to tell you otherwise. Guests want to feel heard. And all the research we've done, that's what it is. They want to feel heard. So the question is, how can restaurants better connect with their guests and give them something that isn't a negative review? How do you do table touches? What about email? What about connecting with them? What do you do? What do you recommend to restaurants to curtail those unhappy guests?
Wow.
Oh! Restaurant. Damn. He was even throwing his voice. I don't know. That was some serious voice acting work there. I got to go to Sean because, Sean, you have that walk? Like, do you have some swagger when you're rolling around the dining room or what?
I would be bullshitting you if I didn't say that I have a swagger. I mean, much of what you do, you know, and thinking about it, you know, 15 years in April is how long we've been taking care of our village and our restaurant.
Yes.
And 15 years of going from a breakfast brand to a sports bar and hosting fight nights and shutting down the street and doing barbecue festivals. I mean, people know. You know, I'll remember when my wife and I, we first started dating and we went to this breakfast cafe close to our house and we walked in and she's like, that's the owner. It was a woman that was walking through like she owned the place. And sure enough, she owned the place. And we all know, you know, as restaurant owners, we have that walk, but it's also, it's a confidence. And depending on the restaurant owner, like hating your guests, that's a problem. I don't know. The fact that
wrong business.
The best part of the story is I would love a video of Zach going up to that restaurant owner because Zach, he is gold. Hospitality. He embodies what true hospitality is. If you see him at a trade show,
he just makes you feel good.
Yeah. Makes you feel good. And that's what hospitality is. You know, we had a manager meeting yesterday. You know, Lisa, one of my managers, was like, we need to do a better job with our new staff that we're hiring that have never been servers. We don't have servers. We use order and pay. Well, the technology is we're just bringing them to the table and it's fend for yourself. Use the QR code. That's not hospitality. You know, right. To Zach's point and to his question, which is how do you make it easy? The best thing for us, honestly, was to get Ovation because we had so many customers that I never asked them. I never said, will you please write us a review? If you make it easy, if it's tied into Toast, our online ordering, and all of a sudden they're texted after they get an online order and they go, dude, that was an amazing tailgater that I just enjoyed with my family. Would you like to share your experience with us? And then it's a deep link, meaning like I don't have to log into Facebook. I don't have to log into Yelp. I pick my preferred platform. Now it's easy. I'm already there. I can just quickly write it and be gone. Like so many people want to write you a review. Don't make it hard for them.
All right, Kyle.
Zach gets me fired up.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Zach gets me transferred.
You follow that, Kyle.
I mean, I just can't imagine a restaurant owner telling a guest that he hates his guests. I mean, like it's not like, I mean, I'm a,
I could, That part of the story, I'm not surprised at all about.
I mean, was he in New York? I mean, that seems like some like burned out restaurant guy just in the business too long. But I think that's one of the huge advantages that, I mean, so many restaurants take that almost same angle as like, oh, they don't know what we're trying to do here, or they're not getting it, so they're bashing it. No, that's the problem, dude. They're not getting it. So maybe, you know, meet them where they want to be, you know, give them what they want, charge them for whatever the catchphrase is there. You're not making this. So many restaurants make that restaurant for them, and then they don't listen to the feedback when it doesn't work. I mean, obviously, to a certain degree, especially from a chef's perspective, this is very personal, right? A lot of it can be very personal. It's coming from a background space. It's coming from something that you feel deeply about. But in general, I feel like if you're getting consistent feedback on something that's not going well, maybe it's something to pay attention to. And I think, you know, when I was coming up, it was those old school little cards, right? And I think like 60% of the time, somebody would just write like balls on it or something funny.
Because they had been stuck in the same server book. They had never said anything about it. You like try and peel it out. It's like stuck with coffee stains and all that. You're like, yeah, I'm going to leave a really great.
Servers always clean those guest check.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you just
part of their clean as often as menus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Totally. Those are real clean. You stick your credit card in the top of one of those things, leave it standing up there. You pull the credit card back out. It's like crunchy.
One of the dirtiest things.
What the hell just happened here? Here's my thought on this. At the highest level, canned questions get canned answers. I'm going to continuously talk about that in our inability to ask questions. We have to get better at asking questions. We have to actually ask questions. If you walk by a table and say, how is everything? Everything is fine. That was not a real exchange of information and communication.
And fine was not. The word fine.
That was just a knee-jerk reaction. Like there was a Pavlovian response. That is not a real response. And unfortunately at every level, that's what we continue to do. And that's why we're getting these kind of responses. And then you have that kind of attitude from an owner. Come on.
Yeah. That's the thing too, like Danny Meyer, everything is not our responsibility, right? Like we're not in charge. How's everything? Just lost my job in case you want to know, but the steak's good. That's what you're asking about.
Yeah, we talked about it last week with auto responses. I think this segment's going to tie really well into Avi's segment with Marquis as well, because this is a problem. We're going to, unfortunately, for everybody out there who's listening, you're going to hear this again and again and again and again, because for some reason we're not getting it. So you have to be engaging. You have to have hospitality every step. It can't just be a step of service, because if you start to make people feel like they're just a step, they're gone. They're gone. All right.
I think the most important lesson is if you are a restaurant owner or you're in the restaurant business, you literally have what everyone else wants. People talk about customer service. Customer service is bullshit. Hospitality is how you make someone feel. We just need to extend that online. Like we need to just get better at online, doing what we already do in real life, but we need to treat the person that's an anonymous user on Twitter or on Yelp or wherever they are as if they're somebody walking, because they did walk into your restaurant.
Customer service is just fixing a publicity issue that you have. Yeah. That point you make, it makes me remember something. When I was bartending at one of my uncle's restaurants in Ames, Iowa, Dublin Bay, I was a bartender there. And one of the owner's family came in, all of them, a couple of brothers, sisters, uncles, like a whole squad, the O'Briens. So you can imagine they got fucking down at an Irish pub, right? The brother says, hey, can I come behind the bar with you? I was like, sure, come back here. Comes back behind the bar. He's pretty sloshed. I don't let him touch much. I think I let him pour some Guinness. At one point, he looks at me and goes, why do I feel so cool back here? I was like, because you have what everybody out there wants. You are the one that can create the experience that they're here to create. So I was always empowered by that. You use that. You have an opportunity. There's very few opportunities in life where you have leverage that's not forced. That's a choice that somebody's giving you the opportunity to have the leverage in this relationship to be able to level up that relationship. And we're not taking advantage of it. We're shitting on it like this guy is half the time.
Dude, it's also it's like a major hospitality flaw. I mean, if you got to get that
the opposite of hospitality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just be closed on Mondays, like Kyle's hat. Then you can chill out. Yeah, that's a cool hat.
What's that?
Where's my closed on Monday hat?
I'll trade when I get my Cali barbecue hat. I'll send you one.
Oh, here we go. Gauntlet Throne.
Okay.
We did. Kyle and I did just get a message asking for our address from Seven Shifts. We're pretty excited about that.
That's if you say it publicly, now you're
going to. Kyle and I got an email from Seven Shifts asking for our address. They listened to the show and said, oh, we got to send them some swag.
Oh, really? Oh, it's because I already got my swag box. You guys saw my YouTube video.
You were flaunting it on here like you were Snoopy on stage.
You already have too much swagger for the rest of us, so Kyle and I are going to level up, so let's go. All right, what are we getting into next? Speaking
of swag, Zach, ovation. Where's my ovation hat?
Yeah, Zach, that's another one.
We could be talking about this right now. We're an ovation hat. Come on. All right, we're going to stay on video. Here's a video clip from this next segment, which was a North County San Diego food vendor was let's just watch this. This fucking gets me. I'm going to drop more F-bombs than I have in any show just in one segment. Here we go.
Dude,
I know we all want to jump in on this one. Who wants to pick it up first? This is some fucked up shit.
So that's your hood. You got
that's your hood, man.
You gotta stand up for your peoples down there.
Very disappointing. I mean, the work that we all do. I mean, we talk about the industry that we love and the industry that we hate. To make any money selling anything, selling lemonade or selling hot dogs on the street, it is grinding work. And this person is sacrificing their family, their hours, they're out late at night, and they're literally just trying to make it, trying to pay rent, trying to pay, put food on the table. And these fucking people that are inebriated and shouldn't be treating another human the way that they're treating them, it's very upsetting. I mean, it's very upsetting for many reasons, but I mean, the hospitality reason and knowing that somebody's working so hard to try to make money selling hot dogs on the street and to get disrespected like that, it's unacceptable. You know, I think, I don't know, the thing that I take away most is that we all have a phone in our pocket. So stuff like this unfortunately comes out, but fortunately, because hopefully someone can have a conversation with these three girls. And I call them girls because they are girls. They're young girls that are obviously drinking for the first time or inebriating, but none of that excuses their behavior. And someone needs to have a conversation and say, you can't treat humans like this. This is unacceptable.
Well, it went back to their schools. So Cal State San Marcos specifically got called out as apparently somebody was recognized or however that happened, that Cal State San Marcos made a statement about this and that there's potentially disciplinary action from the school itself for somebody who is a student there. So to kind of frame that up a little bit. And this this street vendor, Andres Alvarez was quoted a couple times. Like, this is just, he's just trying to make it out there.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Kyle, how you feeling about this?
I'll be honest with you. I read the article. I saw that was probably the longest clip that I watched because it irritated me so much. Like I got what was happening there. It irritates me on the first level as anybody who's cooked for people, right? Yes. Like that's completely disrespectful. I'm big on respect. And, you know, that old school chef training runs deep with that too. But my family was big on respect. You respect when somebody's doing something for you. It's just, you know, speaks to who you are as a person. And clearly, you know, we know who these girls are. But at the other side of it is that immigrant hustle type part. You know, my family's immigrants, my wife's family's immigrants. To have the balls to go out there to do what they're doing, to execute on any level, and to have to be disrespected like that, to me, they should be expelled from the school at a minimum. I mean, you know, I don't know what else can possibly be done. It's not illegal, but I mean, man, I don't know who was filming that, but there was a lot of resolve there because I would have been not so nice. That is just one of the most disrespectful things I think you could do to somebody in public. That's horrible.
It speaks to the level of disrespect that hospitality workers, restaurant workers, food workers, somebody who has a food cart like this get at large. That's the first thing. You know, they're servers, not servants, fucking asshole. Like, get over yourself. they're serving you food doesn't mean that they're less than you. Clearly, they're much better people than you. It also is compounded by the fact that our Hispanic community is the fucking lifeblood of this industry. 60+% of our industry is Hispanic. You put additional immigrants in there, you're getting close to 80% of our industry. Yeah. They make our country run when it comes to food, beverage, and hospitality. They need to be put on a pedestal in the most immense way. And treating somebody like this, hey, I'm going to fuck you over, then grabbing food right off of the griddle, then licking your hands and touching a bunch of food, like that. I can't even explain the number of ways this is disrespectful. This goes to me so much to my why. You guys know, fifth generation chef, restaurateur in our family. We've been in it for so long. So taking care of people like Andres is just in my DNA. And one of the reasons I do so much of the work on the restaurant culture side is because I look at my young kids and say, would I want them to be the sixth generation? And my answer was absolutely not. And that's why I'm doing this work, so that we can leave this industry better than we found it. And when I see something like that, it breaks my heart, because I have two things that I hope. I hope that young kids, the 14, 15, 16, 17 year old like us who got into this industry, can hold our heads high and be fucking proud that you are a cook, that you work in a restaurant, that you serve food, that you're willing to feed another person. And when I see that, who would be proud to have that kind of job? Nobody. Yeah. And then on the other side, I think about the 65-year-old line cook getting ready to retire, having got the gold watch and the pension, putting 2.1 kids through college, which doesn't exist in our industry either. And so the end caps of cultivating youth and creating longevity are so important. And I see something like this and I say, I have no chance. I feel defeated in these moments, because I was like, I have no chance to have a kid. I don't want my kid to do that job. No, so what job could they do in the restaurant industry?
Does he have a social handle? Was he identified on there?
Is there anybody I think so, maybe. Yeah, we need to follow up with him directly, huh?
Yeah, dude, that's
if there is a GoFundMe for him, like there was for Kevin from Burger King, there needs to be.
I always start one. You know,
what can we do? I mean, we're all in the business of building restaurants and building food concepts. If we can't sit down for you know, an hour, all of us collectively, and just say, well, you know, what are you trying to build? How can we help whatever pain point he has? I think we should do that. I'll lead that up. Yeah. I'll figure out how to get in touch with
you. The lack of perspective of these girls, or the lack of maturity and respect, is insane. But like, could you imagine? I mean, these girls can't probably microwave leftovers, let alone move to another country with their family.
All they're going to do, no restaurants are going to serve them. They probably, like the old school health inspectors, got their picture up on the wall in the kitchen. Now these girls are going to have their picture up. And it sucks, because there's so many ways that we're blaming kids these days. And the three of us are always trying to say, like, we need to take responsibility for things as elders of this industry. In this situation, it was like, yeah, like your youth and immaturity and lack of respect is showing in that moment. And so I also hate that for it, because then a bunch of people can say, well, it's because they're a bunch of Gen Z punk kids. And no, I know a lot of Gen Zers that are like, they got their shit together way younger than I ever did. So it's unfortunate to see this. All right. That was the one heavy. I'm like clenching my fists and teeth over here at the, we needed to support Andres. We need to support all of our workers out there who have that hustle, who are out there late nights, early mornings. So
I think the one point that I did want to share is I actually heard Ashton Kutcher say this, and he said, I tell this all the time. It was a quote that I heard, and it was, people always say, you know, what do you want to do? And he's like, people always say, I want to change the world. And he goes, I don't want to change the world. I want to be a better dad, because I want to make an impact on my kids so that it's all about us. What can we do? What can Jensen do? What can Kyle do? What can I do? Is I can raise better children so that they see behavior like that, they don't condone it, and they actually will never have that kind of behavior.
Let's go. Yeah. Parenting, the Hospitality Parenting Podcast, coming soon. All right, let's get into this next segment here. Reading reviews presented by Marquee. We're going to be hearing from Avi. Marquee is a one-stop digital operations platform for no-touch digital menu and listing updates. All right, let's hear what Avi has to say. I like this a lot too, because Avi is like connecting week to week really, really well. So we're kind of keeping a thread of conversation going. So let's hear it.
Last week, you guys had a great conversation around why personalizing a review response is important. There's definitely a balance to strike between automating a process with repeatable templates versus taking a moment to make a personal connection with a guest. A review response, in our opinion, is an easy opportunity for content creation, and a well-thought-out review response strategy can play a long-term role for your brand. I wanted to shout out a couple of restaurants who are already doing this and give some examples of how it has farther-reaching benefits than the connection with the one guest that they're actually responding to. Groucho's Deli, arguably the best sandwiches in the Carolinas, makes a point of mentioning each location's city or metro area in their review responses. This is a great way to reiterate their city and area for keywords. With 25 plus locations, it's a powerful long-term strategy. Mikato's in Florida is another great example. They actually mentioned specific menu items in their responses, which is one of our favorite strategies at Marquee. And in a huge bonus in customer connections, they actually respond in Spanish when the review is written in Spanish. Do you have any other recommendations for restaurants who want to use their reviews to work on their local SEO?
Wow.
Okay. Did you go to Mikado when you were in Florida, Kyle?
I did not.
Oh, man. You should have checked out their 3.5 star reviews and been on your way. Kyle, pick that one up. How do we there was two things. There was kind of the doing a good job generally, and then there was more micro of the SEO. So get into it.
I mean, the SEO for restaurants, I think is, you know, I think they focus, at least what I've experienced, a lot of these guys focus on the bigger picture. I think the gold is in real, like, hyper-local SEO type
Everyone
stuff.
Everyone wants to be a destination restaurant.
Yeah, I know. It's the old, if they build it, they will come, is that's not the way to go about it. I'm a big fan of the hyper-local SEO, the soccer mom angle, you know, that type of, that's who I'm thinking I'm trying to reach, so... I think a lot of times they go too big, too broad. They get bad advice. I think it's, I would rather focus on the smaller mile and a half, 10-minute drive time of my place. What can I dominate in that sphere for my guests to make it happen rather than you know, something that's never going to connect for me or connect to the people that are actually going to come to my restaurant.
Sean, what about for you? The Spring Valley, hyper-local.
I love the segment. Avi did an incredible job. I mean, that's gold, bringing that level of strategy onto a show for anybody that's an operator that's listening. It's, I mean,
facts.
What a challenge. If I could get some Spanish reviews, I don't believe, I will go on record of saying, I don't believe anyone's reviewed our business, Cali Barbecue, on Yelp in Spanish. But if they
challenge.
Did.
And I need to ask people to review you in Spanish.
If and when they do, and when I ask them to do, I will appropriately respond in Spanish and find out how to make that happen. Because, you know, there's a reason why when we talk about content, we talk about SEO, there's a reason why Mr. Beast has multiple different channels in different languages for his content.
I was just gonna say that.
So do not discredit people's native language. And I think that's incredible, incredible tip.
Yeah, very actionable from Avi this week. I think Mr. B's Spanish channel will eventually surpass his main channel with the growth that it's seeing, because it's massive and it's undervalued and untapped. And I think the same thing, we just mentioned that with Andres, that Hispanic community is completely overlooked on the worker side within our industry, on the guest side as well. Massive buying power and potential there. So that gave me the feels for sure when I heard that they were doing replies in Spanish. And I think he mentioned it very quickly and kind of glazed over. It's more than just the one guest that you're impacting from your review. I actually believe that the upside potential is everybody else reads that and says, wow, they were thoughtful. They were personal. They were candid. They took responsibility. Anything that you need to do in that reaction, that response, creates opportunity for you to show who you are to everybody else who's making decisions and has so many choices today of where they're going to go. It goes back to asking questions. Right? I'm always looking for what I call the thing behind the thing that's the real thing. And so the more that you can ask questions while people are in your dining room, that you can ask through ovation, that you can have accurate information on your digital presence through Marquee, all of a sudden you have more keywords to play with. Let's just call it that, since we're talking about SEO. Because in those types of reviews, I would want to mention as many products, services, organizations, businesses, locations around my area. I would find as many ways to be like, oh, wait, that person mentioned that they're in the PTA at this school. So I'd like give a shout out to that school in the response to that review. Things like that create the potential for you to all of a sudden show up in a lot more searches than any other restaurants, because you're also competing against every other restaurant for restaurant near me, for restaurant Spring Valley, for restaurant Greenwich, right? Mm-hmm. And those are very competitive spaces. Can you create some long tail where somebody is looking for something that they might not usually think that they'd find a restaurant, but because you create compelling content and you are ranking because you're talking about your community at large, not just your restaurant? Huge opportunity. So Avi, for sure, like, nailed it. Just thinking about that hyperlocal SEO and using reviews as a way for you to potentially rank, it's brilliant.
I'll tell you what, I actually experienced this when we had the pizza restaurant.
There we go.
We had a Japanese newspaper reach out, you know, coming to New York, pizza. They want to know what the best pizza is. And they reviewed. And it was like, dude, for a little while, we had throngs of Japanese people showing, because we had this full-on review, pictures of our restaurant all in Japanese. But, you know, it makes me think now, because in my work in helping restaurants, you know, find real estate, we do a lot of psychographic demographic work. Mm-hmm. You may be completely ignoring, and the data will show this. You may be completely ignoring a demo that's in your market that loves barbecue, that loves tacos, because it's something they can't get in their country. Right? If you can market to them with some targeted SEO stuff, I think that's a great way to think about things.
That actually made me think of, now I'm forgetting who it is, and I apologize. I'm going to remember who this was, but a restaurateur told me that they were targeting Airbnbs as a market for them, because they saw that there was a lot of ads for Airbnbs in their area. And so they knew that people were coming, and there was a congestion of people that were coming from outside that market. Mm-hmm. So you start to look at those other markets. They started to understand who was coming from what states, and they were pushing some of their material and ads to some of those states as well, to be able to cast a wider net. So when people come via Airbnb, relationships with those people, they even had, you know, restaurants near the Airbnb on the listing of the Airbnb itself, and they made sure they were on there. So that strategy continues to push you into new areas where you find more and more ways to be top of mind, to show up for people. If you don't start that process of thinking about that at all, because you want to be that destination restaurant, because you think we just worry about the food and everything takes care of itself, you're missing out on a lot of people, and somebody's getting those people. All right. That was good. This show is feeling this show.
Flying by.
009. All right. What's next? We're going to hear from Jordan, right? All right. Emphasizing teams, presented by 7Shifts. Another shout out to Maley last week for giving us such a intense, really, segment last week. She talked about on her LinkedIn page how she doesn't like being in front of the camera. I pushed her to do it. She felt really good about it. A whole bunch of people on LinkedIn and within the company reached out. So that was very thesis for us, trying to get more people to tell their story. So thanks to Maley for doing that. And Jordan is back this week. So again, emphasizing teams, presented by 7Shifts. 7Shifts helps restaurateurs with hiring, scheduling, paying, and retaining their people. Let's hear what Jordan Bush, CEO, has to say.
So like many other industries, the hospitality world was literally shoved into adopting technology when COVID hit. But now in 2023, a recent survey done by SpotOn says that 75% of restaurants are planning to adopt new technology. And really, technology can help restaurants truly succeed, whether it's reducing labor costs, combating food waste, or increasing efficiency. But if the tech stack is bulky and unintegrated, it can become way more of a hindrance than a help. Restaurants do want an all-in-one solution. I mean, of course, who wouldn't? But the reality is there are trade-offs to buying from a company that says they do everything, My advice to restaurateurs is to outline the pain points that they're having and understand who those best of breed players are to help solve those pain points. Someone who does inventory might be different than the feature set that, of somebody that does accounting, which is different than another company that says they do HR or team management. And trying to do all of those can leave you with shallow functionality and breadth over the depth of solutions that you may need for your business. So once you find best of breed players, make sure they integrate with your existing stack. Dig deeper when a salesperson says, oh yeah, totally, we integrate. Find out what exactly that means. What data is passed back and forth? To what depth? Is it syncing all location and employee data or just some? Your tech vendors should be ready to answer these questions. And if they don't know on the spot, you know, consider it a bit of a yellow flag, but ask them to get back to you with those details. After all, restaurateurs already suffer death by a thousand paper cuts. They don't need that anymore.
If we weren't sure, Jordan's definitely smarter than the three of us. Let's say that. That is a smart cat there. I don't think that this segment was for us, boys. He just threw the gauntlet down for the entirety of the hospitality tech industry to say, stop trying to prove that you're so much better and that every restaurant can't survive without your solution. You need to talk to them where they are. That's the number one takeaway that I had. I just want to set the tone. I'm going to let you guys get into it. You know that technobabble is something that on our back end threads, I talk about a lot, and we've had to work with even our own tech partners. Like, listen, none of the words you're using does the restaurant understand. If you're using them to prove how badass you are, I don't think it's having the impact that you want. So the technobabble has got to go away. This buzzwords is for your Series A funding. Okay, use all those in your deck. That's amazing. In the conversations you're having, in the sales pitch that you're having, that's not the place for it. I had to write some down because they just melt my brain. Words like seamless, optimized, DevOps, cloud everything, data everything else. And then the acronyms, RPA, API, AI, ML, DL. It's too much.
Way too much.
It's too much. You have to stop. It's not about dumbing it down. It's about meeting people where they are. They're in a place dealing with everything we've shown you on this show so far. They're dealing with a lot of other shit and opportunities. If your solution is so easy, then make it easy for them to understand what the hell it actually does.
Yeah.
All right. So pick that up. Kyle, you want to run with it?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's the essence of everything. You know, they teach you in sales. It's like, can a fifth grader understand exactly what this is about?
Please.
So what exactly are you solving? Because if I have to try to decipher what you're saying,
if I have to Google everything you just said,
what's that?
If I have to Google everything you just said, not a good sales pitch.
Yeah. And if I have to then do that while because, you know, the challenge is, and I'm sure Sean could talk about this, is when you're implementing this technology that's needed by a lot of these restaurants, particularly if you want to scale, you can't do it without technology. You're building the hammer while you're cruising across the ocean to fix the hole in the side. You know, so you're building the tool while you're still trying to maintain customer service. So if on top of that, I have to now decipher what the value that I'm getting. Yeah, something's not right there. You know, it's gotta work. It's gotta work. I've always said it's gotta make sense for you financially. It's gotta do something for you that you don't want to do or you're not good at, and it's gotta make your business better. And if it doesn't do that and it's not clear, I think that's why a lot of restaurant owners are hesitant to implement things, because they just don't understand what they're getting for the monthly fee.
What do you think, Sean?
Comes down to a basic question, and that question is, do you believe in the internet? If you believe in the internet, then you need technology. Then you need technology to help you sell on the internet. And restaurant owners, back to Jordan's point, 74% are starting to invest in technology, meaning that they have woken up, and instead of saying that they believe in the internet, when their actions prove something else. If your actions prove something else, and we come to your restaurant and there is no point of sale system, or there is no way to do an online order, or your website isn't mobile first, or you're not posting content on social, so many of these actions prove to us that you believe or you don't believe in the internet. If you do believe in the internet, then the next question is, do you believe in integration? Because if you believe in integration, you understand that Apple, as great as Apple is making this iPhone, they don't create all these apps that I use every single day. They're integrated with all these other technology companies. So when I partner with Toast, my first question to Toast was, who do you integrate with? Do you integrate with Seven Shifts? Do you integrate with Ovation? Do you integrate with Marquee? If they don't, then that wasn't my technology provider. But guess what? All of the best of the class, which is what Jordan's talking about, the best of class, they understand that it isn't, this is my sandbox. This is the only sandbox. No, they understand that I'm going to build technology that plays with all the sandboxes, because each restaurant has different problems that they face on a daily basis. And digital hospitality is needed in order to do what we do in real life. How do we help take care of customers online and sell more things and run more profitable restaurants and take care of our teams? Well, we do it with integration, and we do it with actions backing up that we believe in the internet.
It's one of the ways we've also been very selective and selected a lot of the partners we work with on this show, on our other shows, on all of the work that we do, is they already work together. There's already a lot of synergy there. There's another buzzword for you that that we appreciate. And when they say that they integrate with them, I go, cool, I don't know what that means. I trust that you know what it means. And that basically it means that your robots talk nice with each other. Got it. Understood. that I will have, I'll be able to baton hand off from one robot to the next robot to the next robot without having to print off a 42-page spreadsheet and then hand input information from one robot into another robot. That's the fear that so many restaurateurs have, is I'm just going to be sitting in front of a computer screen, in front of a tablet for the next 47 years. Please, please don't make that the reality of the way that I have to work in this industry. So
these technology companies, if they do their job, there will be no shitty back office anymore that some manager has to go and hide in a closet to update schedules. I mean, everything that Seven Shifts is building is doing it so that it's all mobile. I mean, we all are walking around with computers in our pocket. What are we doing here? Let's stop. I mean, aloha, putting a computer in the backup. You literally had to have a separate computer just for aloha that no one could use. Absurd. Come on. Be better.
And that seems so normal to us circa 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Sure. Be better.
More helpful.
Bunch of idiots we were thinking that was the only way, but that was the only way. So gauntlet thrown, technology companies, stop beating us over the head with how important and clever and integrated your technology is.
Man, simplify
100%. And we need more people that understand maybe the restaurant industry from the inside. I don't want this gatekeeping that a lot of restaurants and restaurateurs do. If you haven't worked in a restaurant, you don't understand. I understand a lot of things about the world, not having blood, sweat, and tears in that industry. There is nuance. A lot of it has to do with the adoption from humans and the communication. That can be nuanced to the point where we're speaking different languages. We do need more voices, which is why I think it's great that you're part of the advisory board at Toast, so that these technology companies can actually create solutions that work for the restaurants, not try and force a square peg in a round hole and then expect the restaurants to be able to adapt to them. So there's that. All right, appreciate it, Jordan. Okay, last segment, where are we at with time? Oh, we got a little bit of time, here we go. All right. Why this James Beard Award Assembly finalist for Best Chef wants to share the spotlight was the last segment of the day. Let me bring this up real quick. There was just a couple little tidbits about this. I like this quote. So Meridian is the restaurant, a Dallas-based restaurant. They were just Dallas-Fort Worth's 2021 Restaurant of the Year. James Beard for Best Chef National, not just the regional. So it was a big step up. And their chef Borges said, I like the idea of turning restaurants into a team-driven kitchen rather than chef-driven. That kind of like daggered me there for a second, because I built my whole career on being chef-driven. I was like, shit, he's right. It shouldn't have been chef-driven. That's why the ego got in the way. There's created by the chef-driven restaurant. Real estate has been a big issue with the chef-driven restaurant. The financial state of restaurants, big issue with chef driven. So had to take a little bit of humble pie when I heard that. Here's what I want to say on this. This is very core belief for me. I started Best Served Podcast November 18th, 2019 was the first ever episode. And the reason that I started Best Served Podcast was I recognized that I needed to give back to the industry that lifted me up so often. And there were many people that went unacknowledged, unrecognized, unheard, even within my own teams. And I was responsible for that. It was my job to put them up on a pedestal, and I didn't do a good enough job of that. So the idea of unsung hospitality heroes came about. And that was everything I wanted, was to acknowledge the people and meet as many people that have given themselves to this industry as possible. So it was very like, how do we spend more time talking about the meritocracy within the restaurant industry versus just the chef? Huge challenge for sure. You see things like this where Borges actually took his chef Mosley, made him the executive chef. So now apparently if they win the James Beard Award, that'll actually be Mosley who's the chef named as the chef of that restaurant. I thought that was a very cool way to kind of pass all, along that. And they worked together for like 15 years at three or four different restaurants. So it made a lot of sense to me. There's also in your hood, Kyle, Amanda Cohen at Dirty Candy. Mm-hmm. Been there?
Yeah. Vegetarian, vegetarian restaurant.
Cool concept. You know, I think what they're doing is rad. But they also on the menu call out, I think, 3, 4, 5 different people that contributed. Their name is on the menu next to their dish. So little things like that make a really big difference to the culture of a restaurant. So I appreciated that. What do you guys think?
It's a team sport, man, right? It's nothing can happen without
another sports analogy from Kyle. I love you. That's the sports analogies. Let's go.
I mean, it's everybody has their role to play, but it certainly can't happen. I mean, anybody who's worked in a restaurant knows if the dishwasher's out or if the bar back is out, the impact that has on service is far more impactful than if the chef's not there. You know, like you can get through the night without the chef, but try getting through without a bar back and a dishwasher.
Truth.
Good luck. That's a nightmare. Yeah, I love that. When everybody's involved and everyone's going towards the same mission, that's what gets you there, right? If everyone's feeling divisive and one person's ahead of another, or this one award's going to this person, and you know, that's not how things succeed. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, Sean, you could probably appreciate this. Another sports analogy: New England Patriots. I remember, dude. Like my boy played at Michigan, so we had a lot of very similar dynamics is what the Patriots had there, but everybody was expected to contribute to the team no matter what. You know, team came first. Let's all achieve this together. A lot to be said for that.
I mean, you remember their first Super Bowl when they played against the Rams? They did the Rams did what everybody does, is you announce your main starters, right? Your quarterback and all that. And they didn't do that. The whole team came out and they never introduced some of the star players. And that was maybe the first time we had seen that in a while. Obviously back in the day, that wasn't the case, but for a while there, you expected them to introduce their starting lineup kind of like they do in basketball, and they didn't do that. So that actually, that does stand out. That was a good call. Sean, what do you think?
I have a confession to make, because I've always had this issue with the chef persona. As a restaurant,
chefs are the worst.
I mean, we had line cooks, and we had lead line cooks, Avalardo, who's an absolute hero, who's been cooking for our team forever. He, in all sense, in my book, is a chef and deserves the respect, but he would be the first person to tell you that it's not about him. It's about every other line cook and prep cook and dishwasher that's in the heart of the house. And as somebody that is very public and all over the internet, and my last name is literally Wall Chef, people make an assumption that I am a chef and I know what I'm doing in a kitchen. I have no idea what I'm doing in a kitchen. I know what I can do with an iPhone. However, that is my tool. Give me an iPhone and I'm very dangerous. But what I love about this story is the storytelling aspect of media. It's that one story of a historically chef-driven award that a lot of people that are in the chef circles, foodie circles care about. It shakes up the entire category. You know, when letting people know, it's the same when somebody receives an Oscar, or as Kyle was talking about, a Super Bowl ring. It's, we always want to name the MVP, and the MVP is the one that gets all the interviews and gets on the magazine cover and gets the brand deals. But all the people that made that happen is why we're in this industry. And I wouldn't be here today recording this show, you know, on Riff, if I didn't have an incredible team of dishwashers, prep cooks, managers, bartenders, servers, well, not servers, hospitality hosts, catering managers, ghost kitchen managers, doing the work that we do to do our run our barbecue businesses. It's not about me. You know, it's like, how do you remove that? And you do that symbolically like this chef did, which is, you know, making public statements that make an impact and they reverberate throughout the industry.
Yeah, I'd love to see James Beard Foundation. I actually got a show coming up. We're talking about new criteria metrics potentially for awards. Like, have a criteria be average tenure of an employee, average pay of your employees. Like, can we shift the metrics of what it means to be valued and be exemplary in our industry? And just so you guys know, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've dropped the word chef off of my social handle.
Oh,
Chef Jensen Cummings for a decade more. That was really hard for me to do because my whole identity was tied up in that.
Confession time. We're ending with all these confessions. Look at this.
You know, and honestly, that's really hard. And at the same time, there's a lot of people that still call me chef. And I think maybe chef is like coach. Once you're somebody's chef, if they look at you in that light, then I respect the fact that they would say that. I often say, you don't need to call me that. And anytime they say, well, I want to, then I'm so grateful and appreciative of that. But I had to let go of that a little bit. That was a lot of therapy on this show today, boys.
Yeah, let it out.
This is the confessional segment.
This is good. This is good. I love this. This was a great, great show. All these shows are really great.
Anything you'd like to confess before we leave?
Well, he told us that he's having a kid. That was the biggest.
Yeah. Already sure. Yeah, what else do you want? You got my Snoopy picture.
Snoopy?
I dropped out of college. What else? What else did I do? I got a massive baby. What don't you know more about me than Leslie does?
The guy's spilling his guts over here. All right, boys, that is it. Everybody, as always, appreciate you for tuning in. We want to know more about the topics that matter to you. Go to restaurantideafactory.com. You can submit an article link. You can submit a topic idea. Many people do. That's what drives a lot of what we're talking about on the show. So please continue to do that. And we will we'll see you next week. Appreciate you guys. Cheers.
Subscribe to full episodes Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn.